Welcome to another edition of Shed Chats. I'm Peter White, and today we're discussing late cycle investing with Nick Langley. Nick is both co-CEO and co-CIO of Rare Infrastructure Limited, the fund manager that specializes in listed infrastructure investments. Welcome, Nick Langley. Late cycle, maybe could you just explain what the late cycle concept is in terms of investment markets?
Sure, thanks, Peter. So, you know, late cycle is intended to reflect the latter stages of an economic cycle. So, you know, the economy goes through a period of growth, and then as you bounce up against the constraints in the economy, you start to get a bit of inflation coming through, and central banks begin to raise interest rates, and so on. It's happening in the US right now. And that starts to slow economic growth, and that's the latter stage of the cycle. And then you roll over into a period of either low growth or even negative growth, and that's kind of your recession stage, and then it all starts again. Now, the reason that's important for us as investors is, you know, most of the companies that the world invests in earn revenues and grow their revenues in line with the economy. And so as the economy slows down, revenue growth slows down, earnings growth slows down, it may even go negative, and the multiples that these companies trade on become lower, reflecting a lower forward growth. And so the market tends to turn down, and you get these periods of negative performance. And that becomes quite pronounced as you get to this late stage, and you end up with a volatile market like we've had this year, you know, with big falls in February and again in October, particularly in the higher growth, the tech stocks, for example, in the US. So this is a critical time to really think about your investment strategy going forward.
So there's no doubt in your mind that we are in the late cycle?
No doubt. No doubt. It's quite clear. You know, this has been a very long running cycle. And while, you know, they say cycles never die of old age, you know, we're certainly at a stage where, you know, the Fed is raising rates. You've got very low unemployment, particularly in the US. You're starting to get a bit of wage growth and inflation pressure coming through. And, you know, we've had a big bump in earnings growth over the last couple of years. But as the market looks forward from here, and this is part of what the fall in October was about, you know, that earnings growth is starting to come down and roll over, and the market's starting to factor that into their thinking.
So why is infrastructure a good defensive strategy if we adopt this late cycle view?
So infrastructure generates its returns and its earnings from the underlying assets. And so as they're continuing to invest in their assets and the asset base grows for these companies, so do their earnings, their cash flows, and their dividends. So they're a little bit different to your general equity stock, which grows in line with the economy. So as you move through these cycles, actually the infrastructure names continue to grow their earnings, even though the broader market's earnings may decline. And this happened, you know, even through the GFC. And so infrastructure is a great asset class to own as you move through this late cycle period. And it's interesting, its trading characteristics are quite different to your general equities, and it's again down to the asset base. So in a falling market, infrastructure tends to fall about half as much as global equities. But in a rising market, we get about two-thirds of the upside. So, you know, if the cycle runs for another couple of years, which it could do, you're not giving up too much on the upside, but if the cycle does roll over, then you're getting some capital protection
on the downside.
Yeah.
And in the bigger picture with the Trump and tariffs and trade wars, how does that impact on your thinking, or is that just noise and, you know, you're investing as per normal?
Well, it is interesting. I think the trade situation between the US and China is pretty fundamental to where we are today and where we go over the next few years from an economic perspective, and that'll obviously flow through to the markets as well. So, you know, two schools of thought. One is, you know, at some stage next year, you know, maybe towards the middle of the year, may take longer, maybe done shorter, you know, Trump and the administration and China will come to a view on trade. And, you know, there'll be a compromise and we'll kind of work through. And I think if that happens, then, you know, we get another a big push on the cycle, and that'll extend for another couple of years. And the key reason for that is, you know, the tariffs are starting to pressure earnings for companies, particularly in the US. And if those tariffs are resolved and disappear, then that's going to give a bit of a boost to earnings. There'll be some series of upwards revisions, and that'll cause the market to shift upwards for a period of time. The flip side of that is, if there is no resolution, then you get real pressure on corporates in China and in the US. In the US, because they'll really need to start adjusting their supply chains.
So the defensives will come into the fore sooner.
And I think the defensives will come into the fore sooner. Okay. And you could get the cycle ending, you know, a lot more quickly under that scenario.
Well, speaking of Trump, one of the biggest issues he have been talked about, but there doesn't seem to be much action, is infrastructure, the big infrastructure program. What's happened to that? We're 2 years into the term, and you know, it doesn't seem to be
on
the front burner, or am I missing something?
No, so you're right. It was a key plank of his manifesto, if you will, leading into the last election. You know, there has been a lot of work done in the background on the trade, and they have released, you know, scant details, but they have released a policy around that. I think, you know, by good luck or good management, you know, he's kind of left that to be one of the last things that he wants to have a go at, and you know, it's probably going to work out quite well for him, because if you think about where the midterms are going to end up, you know, it's likely that the House goes to the Democrats. You know, who knows what happens in the Senate, but the Democrats are quite keen on spending on infrastructure as well. So, you know, by leaving infrastructure to last, you know, get through trade hopefully by early to mid next year, he's then in a position where he can actually negotiate with the Democrats and get something done on infrastructure, and essentially carry that into, you know, the next election in 2020.
It's a bipartisan policy that will come to the fore. But what you think?
Yeah, I'd argue there's nothing in the US that's bipartisan at this point in time. But it's something that, you know, I think the administration and the Democrats could reach a compromise on and you know, get some activity going.
And have you got stocks identified that you think will benefit from this?
Yeah, so,
and will they be existing stocks, or is it going to be a whole lot of startup businesses?
Yeah, it's interesting. So the idea for the infrastructure plan, and you know, we put out some notes on this in the past, is to try and utilize a bit of federal money to stimulate a whole lot of projects and get them underway. And to do that, they really need what they call shovel-ready projects that, you know, have been through the environmental process and all the rest of it, and really just need some help to either, you know, get funded, or a little bit of subsidy, or a little bit of support on pricing and tariffs and so on, or some incentives to states to actually press the button on these projects.
And is there enough of those on the shelf?
There's plenty of those on the shelf. You know, the current plan that's sitting out there has the federal government spending about $200 billion to stimulate about $1.2 trillion of infrastructure spend. Now, to do that, you've got these shovel-ready projects. It's really the projects that the incumbent operators have ready to go. And so you're going to see a bit of a boost to the construction companies, the materials, the aggregates, concrete companies, and so on. And you're also going to see, for our companies, the infrastructure owner and operator companies, you're going to see a higher growth in their underlying asset base, which is really important actually at this point of the cycle, this later stage of the cycle, because that higher growth will attract higher multiples and give these companies higher valuations, which frankly is not bad insulation as you move through this later stage of the cycle.
Again, going back to the big picture, big economic picture, Merkel overnight's almost become a lame duck. We've got a far right new president in Brazil. Does that cloud the issue, or does that just mean confirm that we're in the late cycle? What's your view on that that situation?
Yeah, I think the political situation really on a global basis is very interesting, with the rise of the more populist style of politics. That in our mind results in a greater likelihood of a downturn earlier, because you get a number of populist policies, and so you get, you know, more sort of government spending, you get, you know, less room for corporates to grow their earnings over time, which, you know, probably leads to an earlier and potentially even deeper downturn. As it relates to infrastructure, both the left and the right love to build infrastructure. They love to be on TV cutting ribbons, you know, showing that they're actually building things and doing things for you know, the population. And as a result, we think infrastructure spending gets a boost whether you move to the right or to the left. It's just if it's at the right, it'll be more private sector involvement. If it's to the left, there'll be a bit more public sector involvement.
Are there sectors or companies or countries that you're particularly keen on moving into this late cycle? You know, the investments that you're going to make or maybe have already made.
Yeah. So if you look at kind of where we are today. There's some areas where, you know, there's definitely value to be had. You think about the UK, for example. You know, there's a number of companies there that are really beaten up because investors, frankly, don't want to be exposed to the UK as we're moving into this Brexit phase. The utilities are all domestically oriented companies, and they're at the more defensive end. They're very cheap at the moment, and that's an area where I'd encourage investors to take a look. You know, if you view Brexit as, you know, we'll get a deal done before Christmas, and on that basis there'll be a bit of a relief rally. So there's probably some, you know, shorter term money to be made there. In the medium term, you know, I do think that the US will have a push on infrastructure. You know, next year, the administration, probably mid to late next year. And as a result, not only do you get a lot more people talking about infrastructure and retail starting to invest in US infrastructure, but you actually get that asset-based growth, which then supports valuations through the rest of the cycle. So that's a really good medium-term plan, I think.
So it sounds like you're actually more confident about the sector than maybe the bigger picture.
Yeah, the bigger picture has a fair amount of kind of risk and you know, different potential outcomes. When we get down to the sector level and we're talking to our companies, actually they have really good relationships with their state-based regulators, you know, in the US, and their regional regulators across the rest of the world. They've got lots of opportunity to continue to add to their asset bases. You know, when you look at the electric companies, you know, adding two electric cars to your service territory is like adding one house. So, you know, in California in particular, where they're going to add a lot of electric vehicles over the next 5 or 10 years, you know, there's a massive spend required to build out the networks, and all of that builds the asset base. They're getting a steady return on that, and that builds their earnings and helps them to achieve higher multiples in the market, higher valuations. And again, that's going to protect as we move through the downturn.
Nick Langley, thanks very much.